We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
Well, I know when God led me and told me, spoke to me about all these folks, the very first fellow that came up couldn't lift his feet off the floor. He just scooted along. Looked like he's sitting down, yet he's standing up because his knees, you see, were drawn. When I asked him if he run, it startled him. He said, oh, my God, no, I can't walk, much less run. So I told him, the Lord told me to tell you to run down that aisle, back up this one, you'd be healed. You never saw a fella turn and scoot so fast in your life. He scooted down one aisle, back up the other. Same way, I said, well, the Lord said it, do it again. He scooted down one aisle, back the other one, and was perfectly healed right in front of everybody. Amen. What if he hadn't acted?
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, recognizing roadblocks to healing, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
You see, God will tell you what is going to happen under the present circumstances. But then you can change things. Notice that Isaiah didn't change it. Hezekiah is the one that had to change it, not the prophet. And so when he changed, when he turned his face to the wall, when he repented, when he got things straightened up, then God said, all right, praise God. Now then, under these circumstances, I can give you 15 more years. Not a matter that God changed his mind. He don't ever change. See, you need to see that. You need to realize that when the Spirit of God speaks through prophecy, particularly the prophet's ministry, Isaiah was a prophet, tells you what's going to happen, that doesn't mean that it always has to happen. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean necessarily that it's God's will that it happen. I said always. Sometimes people can change that, but the individuals involved are the ones that have to change it. I'll not go into that any further right now, but it's a thought that we need to consider. Now, we read in verse 20 and 21 of this same chapter. See, that is the first five verses. But this same chapter, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments in all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Now, some have wondered why Isaiah told Hezekiah to put a lump or a poultice of figs on his neck. Well, one very able Bible scholar who was a medical doctor and a minister and a Hebrew student said, according to the Hebrew, Hezekiah had a carbuncle on his neck. And these, you know, can be very serious. Now, God had already told Hezekiah that he would not die, but that he would live for 15 more years. Therefore, the poultice was not necessary for him to live, or as a medicinal aid. It had no creative powers whatsoever. It served no medical purpose. Many people down through the years have used different poultices as cleansing agents. And Hezekiah's poultice may have been used in this manner some feel. However, personally, I am convinced that God told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah to lay this lump of figs on that boil or carbuncle as an act of obedience and an act of faith. Just like God told Naaman the leper through Elisha the prophet to dip in Jordan's river seven times and his leprosy would be cleansed. Well, dipping in muddy Jordan didn't have any curative value. And dipping in muddy Jordan did not heal Naaman any more than the poultice healed Hezekiah. But you see, it was a test of his faith and obedience. I know in my own ministry, I found at times that the Spirit of God would lead me to tell sick people to do something. I knew it was as an act of their faith to do something to be healed. I make mention of the fact one time preaching here in the state of Oklahoma, the Lord led me to minister to crippled folks one night. Anybody that's crippled anyway, shape, form, or fashion. And then to tell each one of them to run. Didn't tell me to pray for them. Didn't tell me to lay hands upon them. Now, you know, Jesus ministered to people in different ways. We see him on one occasion laying hands on a blind man. Asked him if he saw it. Said, I see men as trees walking. Laid his hands on him again. Caused him to look up. He saw a man clearly. But we see him again. Spit on the ground. Met clay of the spittle. Rubbed it on a blind man's eyes. Didn't pray for him. Rubbed it on his eyes. Told him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? When the man acted on that, then he was healed. Well, I know when God led me and told me, spoke to me about all these folks. The very first fellow that came up couldn't lift his feet off the floor. He just scooted along. Looked like he's sitting down, yet he's standing up because his leg, his knees, you see, were drawn. When I asked him if he run, it startled him. He said, oh, my God, no, I can't walk, much less run. So I told him, the Lord told me to tell you to run down that aisle, back up this one, you'd be healed. You never saw a fella turn and scoot so fast in your life. He scooted down one aisle and back up the other. Same way, I said, well, the Lord said it, do it again. He scooted down one aisle and back the other one. And was perfectly healed right in front of everybody. Amen. What if he hadn't acted? See, God will tell people to do something sometime as an act of faith and an act of obedience. I believe that was this in this case here. Now, when the Spirit of God tells someone to do a certain thing, it involves an act of obedience and releases their faith. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who runs down the aisle will be healed. And it doesn't mean that everybody that puts a poultice on their neck will be healed. And it doesn't mean that everybody could spit on the ground and make clay of the spittle and rub it on a blind man's eyes or a person's eyes and they'd come seeing again. But it does mean that if God said do it and you do it, it'll work. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to another roadblock. Roadblock number 4. We get by all these roadblocks, we'll get up there where healing is. Let's go to another one. Paul left Trophimus at Miletum sick. And because Paul left somebody sick, more people have been left sick than anything else. Well, let's get by that roadblock. What do you say? 2 Timothy 4:20 says, Paul said, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, some argue that divine healing must not always be God's will, since Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum. Well, you know, in nearly every one of my meetings, I've left some sick. But thank God I always got some healed. In nearly every meeting, crusade that I conduct, I leave some people unsaved. But thank God we get a lot of them saved. Well, because I left some people unsaved doesn't prove that salvation is not for them. Because we left some people unhealed doesn't prove that healing wasn't for them. Paul, as an apostle, did not carry healing power around with him. That's not the way it works. Healing is primarily a faith proposition on the part of the individual who receives. No matter how much faith the minister may have, the effects of the individual's doubt will nullify the minister's faith. See, that's another place where folks have made a great mistake. They've just imagined that if you've got enough faith and you pray the prayer of faith for me that I'll be healed, whether I've got any faith or not, whether I believe or whether I don't, whether I'm a living right or not. But no, are you listening to me? Now then, They aren't exceptions to all rules, you understand this. But ordinarily, that's not the case. You take the ministry of Jesus himself. As we pointed out many times in Mark, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, the ministry of Jesus himself in his own hometown, it said, and he could there do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Save he laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And the original testament written in Greek says he laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments. So it's scripturally true and safe to say that under the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, in his hometown of Nazareth, only a few received healing. The few that did get healed only had minor things wrong with them. Now why? Why? All right, the 6th verse said, Mark 6 said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then that's why, because of their unbelief. Why didn't he just go ahead and override their unbelief? Isn't he the Son of God? Sure, but he can't override their unbelief. God himself can't do that. He won't do it. He'd have to violate his word to do it. So how is Jesus going to help them then? Well, the rest of the 6th verse said he went around about their villages teaching. Hallelujah. That's the way he's going to help them. Cure their unbelief with the word of God. Teach them. Get faith into them. So that's the reason that I said that healing primarily is a faith proposition on the part of the individual who receives. No matter how much faith the minister or some other individual may have, the effects of the individual's doubt will nullify the other's faith.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's special radio offer. First is the complete set of 21 videos from Winter Bible Seminar 2026, all on one USB drive. This new MP4 format offers a convenient way to view these teachings. This is offered for a price of $95. Next is the 21 audio teachings from Winter Bible Seminar on a USB drive in MP3 format, offered for the price of $50. And lastly, we're offering both the video MP4s and the audio MP3s on two USB drives for $140. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
You know, hon, they hear us at every program, we say we want to thank you for helping.
Yes.
Well, we're talking to those that have become a Rhema partner. We're a word partner with us, we call it.
Yes.
And what is a partner? It's just somebody that prays for us regularly and sends an offering at least once a month, whatever you can afford to send. It helps us to continue to do this broadcast.
Yes.
And many other things that we do all over the world. So if you'd like to become a partner with us, you can go to rhema.org/WPC.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, Recognizing Roadblocks to Healing. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.